So we have like multitudes of, you know, woods, right? We have sandalwood, Hollywood, Tollywood, Mollywood, Collywood, like shit ton of woods. So, you know, we
Good,
have like 40
golly
languages.
gosh, he would. That's a lot of woods.
Yeah. So we have like 40 languages.
Yeah.
So that kind of messes it up for us. So let's roll. Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today we have two people. Both of them are comedians, I hope.
Wow. That's setting the bar pretty high.
Hey, I got paid. I used to get paid to do it. Not much, but some.
Imagine getting paid to tell jokes. Did you land any though?
Any jokes? Well, we're starting off this podcast well, 1 minute in.
Woo! Now that's some beef right
Damn.
there, baby. That's across the world beef.
So Christian and Damien have their own podcasts. That's why they have a very professional looking microphones. Their podcast is called as Remain Room Return Podcast. And thank God I was able to say that in one
That was
sentence and in one
impressive.
take.
That was pretty good. We
That's
can
better than
have that.
Christian. It's Christian's podcast, and he can't say it, so.
I came up with the name too.
Dab.
I did this to myself.
So apparently Christian went to a dark room and said, "What's the hardest name I can come out with?" And he came with RRR.
Yes.
Not the movie, but the podcast. So yeah, guys, how are you doing? And how's everything going? And how's your costume party going on?
It's going so right now. So we're both from the States, and so we're recording this on.
Do you mean United States?
Yes.
Thank
No,
you.
the only states. All right, get it
I
clear.
don't know. It's very American of
Yeah.
me to be like, yes, that
Yes,
one.
American.
Yes. Are there other ones that
Sorry,
could be? Is there
Well,
yeah.
there are other states in the world.
Yeah,
The
but
state.
I mean, my country has like 32
Yeah, they
states.
have 36. I mean, the state of paranoia that I constantly live in is one.
Damn.
That's true. You know, or
Yeah,
the state of
my state
confusion.
would be anxiousness all the time. Yeah, sorry, Christian, you were saying
Well,
something.
after I was rudely interrupt now.
Yep.
It's Halloween here.
Hail Satan.
I guess so. Damien's drinking a beer with a Satan symbol on it,
It's called a
which
pentagram.
a Satan symbol, yes, as I said.
Blessed be my
It's
father.
a drawing.
Oh, we'll have to get into the Juggalo story. I'm just
Oh,
waiting you to have to explain. Okay, we're gonna already do sidetrack of story. Okay.
no. Yeah,
So
so how is it going was the
Oh
question.
yeah,
Yeah.
back to the beginning.
Back to the question. So
Good, it's going. Halloween it is.
I just handed out like 12 pounds of candy to children who came to my door.
So you just made ton of kids unhealthy.
Yeah,
Yes.
Christian is the reason there's diabetes in the United States. In the States.
Oh my God. In the States.
State of
Yeah.
type 2 diabetes.
That's what Ozempic's for.
Ozempy
So
Wempy.
how is it going, Damien? Like, I can see your ears growing. I don't know why you have your headphones on your head instead of ears, but yeah, whatever floats your boat,
Hear
you know?
you, I can't. Halloween it is.
So wait, are you supposed to be like Yoda or Grogu?
Well,
He's just a confused human.
yeah, I'm just lost in general. Somebody told me we're doing a podcast. This is my podcast gear. This is just how I show up.
You look also very like goblin-y.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you have your headphones in the wrong place.
Yeah. Yeah. This is just a little confusion, so you know, I can't spread them that wide. So I put it on
Yeah.
my neck so I can feel the vibrations of your voice. Yeah,
Nice.
yeah.
Yeah, there are those earphones, right, that go onto your back of your ear. It creates vibration.
Yeah, exactly. That's what these are, I guess. I don't know. I got
Nice.
them on Amazon. Goblin friendly Amazon. I mean, look at their
Goblin.
owner.
That's true.
Yeah. Hopefully by the end of this episode, I'll probably on a watch list.
We're gonna be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If all goes right. well, we'll be at, on some sort of list. I don't know what kind, but.
That's true.
Yeah. I hope we don't land on a list, especially when elections are coming up.
Well, it won't be a land list. It'll be a no-fly list, but.
Yeah. It's easier for you to say as a white man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. Like,
I am brown. I have a beard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. When I, like, yeah. we just stroll through going through customs at airports. Security. They're like, oh, we don't need to see your passport. Just keep walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I literally walk through security and go, hey, you're the bomb. And nobody stops me. You know.
There's like, this man only really likes 90s lingo.
Dynamite!
Cowabunga!
I'm ready to blast off.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's some privilege for you.
Yep.
Yes, that's a privilege. Yeah, but for me as an Indian, food is a privilege.
Yeah, 100%. That's true. Spice and flavor is a privilege for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just had, I was talking to a rapper, like a music artist, mm-hmm. and he asked me, is Indian food spicy? I said, not for a black man.
Anybody with like, melanin, yeah. no.
No.
Yeah. You guys can't handle the.
My problem is I love like Indian, like my tongue loves Indian spice. Mm-hmm. My tummy, on the other hand, not so much. It's like, okay, well, do I want to spend the next 12 hours on the toilet or not?
Toilet, another privilege.
Oh, my God. Oh, India became open defecation free like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
No, actually 10 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. So toilet is not a privilege anymore, hopefully. And if anybody is struggling to find a toilet, I don't know, man. Just deal with it.
Yeah, just deal with it. Just do what they do in LA and San Francisco. Just go on the street.
Yeah.
Did you just out your own country?
Wow.
Well, yeah.
I'm not proud of it.
You don't have to be proud of it. So what would you say? Like, yeah, I'm proud that people shit on streets. Well,
you know, when people say I'm from the
street. What do you mean by you know?
If there's one thing you're going to learn about me real quick, is that I don't know much.
Facts.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I don't know much
about
anything.
Oh my God, Christian was like, yeah, I've been waiting to drop this line already.
Oh no, it's just, yes, that is, also a theme of our podcast.
It is a constant form of frustration for Christian at the amount of stupidity that flows out of my mouth, which is why we have a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, podcast is the best place if you are frustrated, right?
Or if you're just dumb. I mean.
Or if you're a white man in your 30s.
Yeah. Midlife crisis for real.
All those microplastics. Yeah, I'm not making it to 60.
Look, if there's one thing I've learned about microplastics, it's about people's taints, okay? Joe Rogan has made it abundantly clear that your taints get smaller.
But it's also about your brain.
Well, that's never been important in podcasting. What's important is the size of your gooch.
Yeah, because, you know, the ability to offend people needs a big balls.
Yeah.
Big set of balls, at least. And now all the women are like, fuck you, man.
Yeah. Everyone knows that women like big balls and tiny dicks. That's the point.
There you go, guys. Yes. We are officially canceled by all the feminists of the world. Yeah. I mean, how many episodes have you guys done till now?
Oh, man. Somewhere like mid-30s, I think, that have been released at least. I think we have a couple, 4 or 5 in the tank.
So, guys, what he's saying is a couple of them are offensive, so they're considering to release it.
I wouldn't actually go that far. Like, I would say, for American standards, keep it pretty tame for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christian likes to cut a lot of my inappropriate stuff.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I don't cut anything.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, no.
That's why I've been going off.
Go at it. Go at it. Go at it. Like, I've seen the worst, you know, like...
Let me tell you about these people, okay? Yes.
Yeah.
That's a white man. You can't say these people.
I'm talking about white people.
Yeah, I mean, these people is grammatically
correct. It is.
But just emotionally wrong.
Well, morally, sure. I mean, if you have morals, you know, if you're burdened, what if you're those? Burdened by morals, I guess.
I mean, I have never heard of it, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's never been an inconvenient or convenient thing for me.
Yeah, exactly my point. I can't be inconvenienced by people's feelings.
Yeah.
An inconvenient truth. Al Gore.
So, talk about truth. Who is winning this election? The guy who created a truth platform?
That is tanking in stock.
I just know I'm voting Bob Dole.
Who the fuck's that?
I wish I could tell you.
Take a guess, dude.
I think he was a vice president.
Yeah.
Correct? From, I think, Kansas, maybe?
I was going to say Indiana, but sure.
Yeah, he's been dead for quite a while. Well, like 3 years.
So guys, you heard it here. Damien has an opinion that a dead person would rule better than the current
candidate. I'm just saying, it's Halloween. We're celebrating the dead. We may as well vote for dead people at this point. Like, let's celebrate, you know? I like a good theme.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Get that Ouija board out.
Yeah. And then we'll play some Wii bowling and we'll call it a night. I'm a motherfucker in Wii bowling. Yeah.
Only
300 I've ever gotten.
Besides the bathroom the scale. What?
Whoa. It's almost like ounces and pounds for me.
See? You just offended Ganesh.
Yeah. Yeah, Christine, off the record, actually. You know, Damon asked me, what was this mic? And I started to convert my currency into dollars, you know.
Sorry, he 130 kilograms. What? That'd be
who the fuck's 130 kilograms?
40 stone.
Now we're going in British Imperial.
He was like, "Let me remind you of your ex-colonists."
Yes.
Let me bring up some more traumatic experiences. Have you heard of the Holocaust?
Oh. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, because Jews fled to India when the shit was going down too.
That they did.
Yep.
So this is a history podcast, right? And we're about to go into...
This is the all of everything kind of
podcast. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered a good amount of stuff already, and we're only 15 minutes in?
13 minutes in. Yep.
So that's pretty good. We're setting a good pace. We're going at a good clip here.
We really are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys talk about hometowns and, you know, what's the fucking experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How would you interview a person from Detroit, though?
What? Sorry.
Sorry. He is dyslexic.
Okay. So my question was, if somebody was from the Detroit city, how would you interview him and ask, like, do you like your city?
I think I would just...
Do you want to stay in your city?
If they're from Detroit, I'd probably just ask if they like cars.
So
and bring up more dramatic experiences.
So I actually lived like a half an hour... another big thing we do in America, or at least in the Midwest, is we say distances by how long it would take to drive.
Yeah.
So
because you guys hate physics.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And so, yeah. So I don't even know how many miles or kilometers it is. I lived fairly close to Detroit. And
yeah. How was the experience, though? How did you survive that?
Detroit's actually a pretty nice city. Like I say, like any major city is going to have the bad parts where you're not going to go to the very like impoverished parts or like parts that there are parts where like they say, hey, don't stop at like stop signs and stuff.
Just run the red lights.
Yeah. There are places like that in Detroit, of course, and there are like dilapidated, but their downtown area has really like they've made it super nice lately.
Yeah, because they have been trying to, you know, bounce back as a city, right? Like they you know, the last time I checked, they were providing a lot of benefits for people to move in there and, you know, do stuff.
Gentrification.
Yeah, essentially it was a lot of gentrification. And so, yeah, no, it's nice. Like they have really nice, all their like major US like sports team, like arenas and like stadiums are all within like one block of each other.
And so, yeah, you guys love your sports, right?
Yes. You into the IPL?
Yeah. Oh my God. How do you know IPL?
So I weirdly love cricket.
Nice.
As an American. And so the only other people I can talk about cricket with, so I work for a software company. So of course I work with some people.
Indian. Think you can say of course before you say that.
We're talking.
No, that's of course.
Yeah.
That's of course.
No, so of course I work with only Indians.
Yeah, because software is Indian.
That's true.
Yep.
I redact my statement. I'm the racist.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I started to watch the IPL because I could talk about cricket with people. And so.
Nice.
My favorite part about that, though, is that so Christian will intentionally watch a sport to like bond. With his coworkers, but there is nothing that Christian will do to make an effort to bond with me.
That's pretty correct. Actually, no, I
like he will try to distance himself from me as much as possible when we have a podcast together, but he'll fucking take up cricket to get along with his coworkers.
No, I was already a cricket fan. And
sure. Just like everybody from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Man, you know, like we had our last World Cup of cricket in US. Yeah, that was shitty. The pitches were bad. Mm-hmm. The playing conditions were bad. But, you know.
Yep. That,
we did it. You know, Christian, it's very... this is something that, you know, scientists need to study or something. That any international sports that enters US gets fucked.
It's probably because of greed more than anything. It gets fucked.
Yeah, because if you look at Formula One too, right? Mm-hmm. It's awesome worldwide.
Yeah.
you know, they even race in China for fuck's sake. But as soon as they enter US, they have one good Austin, Texas circuit.
Yeah.
But this Las Vegas street circuit shit
a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because they try to get as much money as possible. And it's like, they shouldn't have never had it in Vegas. Like,
Yeah, we're hosting the Olympics
in think
LA.
They mentioned that they had one, you know, toilet for like 800 people.
Yeah.
Per 800 people. Yeah. Imagine.
Oh, I don't have to imagine. I live in LA.
That's true. They poop in the streets.
Why do you live in LA though?
The big bright lights of Hollywood, baby.
He's gonna be a star, baby.
I have just that je ne sais quoi that Hollywood's looking for, you know.
So how much percentage of what you earn do you take home? Like what, like 20%?
5.
He pays them.
Yeah. I essentially pay Gavin Newsom to live here.
Yes.
Yeah. So essentially government is tipping you from your income.
Essentially, yeah. And it's not even like 20%.
Yeah. You know? That's why I asked you why. Because, you know, right now, what I say is most people are moving away from California to Texas.
Yeah.
Right. Like, especially Dallas and those areas.
Well, they're trying to get away from the libs.
Yeah. Tell that to the fucking freeways, am I right? The freeways are still jam-packed. They're not moving quick enough for me.
They saw Elon and Joe Rogan move, and they're like, that's where we need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, Texas has this kind of attraction, right? You know, to move.
Well,
because it's like semi-everything. It's not completely anything.
Yeah, it's fairly... Certain parts are fairly inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the, like... I'm saying this to a man who lives in India, but the like weather is terrible in the summer there. Like,
yeah,
it's,
I know. I work for an American company, okay. So I know.
So that's a big thing, but it's just so huge too. It's just landmass ginormous. You're right. Mm-hmm. Like parts of it are like very beachy on the ocean. And then you have more like farmland with cows. And then you just have straight up desert as part of it.
Yeah. But, you know, even in, geopolitics also, right? It's kind of liberal in some places. It's kind of conservative in some places. So it's like, you know, a favorable mixture.
Yeah.
Unlike where Damien lives.
There are parts that are of LA that are deep red, like in the OC. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but most of it is just, you know.
Yeah. It has a reputation. No.
Yeah, it has a very good reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a solid mix of both sides of the coin here. I will say there is no middle ground in LA that I'm aware of.
Do you think people have started to turn in recent years? Because of what's been going on?
I think people have just gotten more extreme on either side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody's taken to one side suddenly that they didn't before. I think more people are just getting more and more extreme on either side. But I don't know. I try not to get involved with anybody who is, you know, emotionally inflamed by what they see on the internet or on TV. I'm like, I don't know, man. I go to work, I do the podcast, and I go to sleep.
But I see the argument of them also, right? Because it in some ways also affects them.
Yeah.
Right, directly or indirectly.
I don't know. Does it?
Do we really?
I feel so.
Do we want to get really political? Because I can.
I was like, Christian's going to get political. I'm sitting here like, I don't know. Nothing really changes that much between Democrat and Republican. Yeah. I think it's pretty much the same most years.
Which... is this one I do feel has a bigger impact, especially for women.
Yeah, but nobody cares. You know what I mean? Like, women.
You sound like Bill Burr.
The women, dude.
The women.
Yeah.
No, and so I think
fucking watch WNBA. You care so much.
The overturn of Roe versus Wade is, I think, what is becoming a big shift in the U.S. politics that will more go towards Harris than it will for Trump.
Yeah.
But
do you think it's just city and city kind of situation?
Yeah, it's not great either way, but...
I mean, killing babies is killing babies.
No, I think the big problem with a lot of people in America is there's never going to be your perfect candidate. There's never going to be the candidate that hits all your check boxes. It comes down to who can I live with?
Do you remember Peter Buttigieg?
Sorry, what?
Peter Buttigieg?
Oh, yeah.
You mean a gay? Gonna have a gay in office?
Yeah, I mean... they made him out to be the most perfect fit ever, right?
Well, yeah. He
unless you're Catholic.
Yeah. Which I think he is technically Catholic. Or he was the mayor of...
Yeah, yeah. He was a mayor. He was like... they gave him so many accolades that he looked like a perfect person for some time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was a military vet, which is a big deal for a lot of people in America. And so, yeah, I think he's been hanging around. I really hope because he's, you know, the head of transportation for all of America and wants to introduce high-speed trains to America, but...
Why?
Because it is so expensive to fly here compared to Europe, as an example.
Mm-hmm. But Europe is a small land. Like, that's true. It's not that big.
Makes more.
Right? But you guys are so big. Like, it would be...
Thanks for noticing.
You could have said that's what she said.
I mean, she didn't. If she's seen it. But I'm just glad that you think so.
The girth. So,
yeah. It's like a tuna can.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, getting railways into US would be kind of challenging, right, at this point of time. It's like upgrading your electrical grid.
Yeah. Texas electrical grid. That's another thing that is interesting. I think for a certain part, it could definitely do much better in the Northeast because it is a little more compact. But yeah, where I live in the middle of nowhere, it'd be a while to actually get it. But
yeah. So do you use like Starlink if you are in remote areas?
I'm not that remote of an area.
He's like, yeah, I'm out there, but not that much out there.
Yeah, no, I live in a town with like a major university. That's probably the biggest part of it.
Yeah, you guys have university cities, right?
Yeah.
Like a city built around a university.
Yeah, essentially.
That is like, exactly what Lincoln is, where Christian lives. Mm-hmm. It is a city built around a university for sure.
And the day people realize education is a scam. Yeah, you guys are fucked.
Yeah.
They also, it is where the head of the state government is here as well. And so, yeah, that, but yeah, the college is definitely the major employer of the city. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah. You know, I feel like, right, you know how Americans get flack for only thinking America is the world?
Yeah.
It's not?
Right. Yeah, breaking news. Whoa. It's not. But
hey, you know, there is like... Europe. Don't forget it.
There is Northern Europe. Don't forget
the
that.
The country of Europe. I've been on Reddit. Come on, guys.
You sound like those interviews right on Instagram. Like, can you name three countries outside US? And they're like, yeah, Europe, Africa, Asia.
Indonesia.
Oh my god, yeah. Can you name any other country?
Minnesota.
Yep, there you go.
Australia.
Nailed it.
I fucking a continent and a country.
Nailed this game.
And a country, yeah. Yeah. But, you know,
the UAE.
I feel like, because UAE. Wow.
The USSR.
You're kind of outdated, man.
Bob Dole.
Bob Dole for president. I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason, you know, I totally understand that people in US are not aware of the world because they got so much going around them, right? Like, there is so much going on within US.
Well, I think we're just so self-involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also you guys are so much isolated if you really think about it. Because the whole US is like an, you know, echo chamber, right? And, you know, there is so much complexities involved in a common man's life or a woman's life that they're like, fuck other countries.
A little bit, yeah.
Right? But if you look at the world, it's like this, right? Everybody knows almost everything about US.
Yeah.
So, well, then what did I have
for dinner? How does it... I would have to ask my agent at the FBI. Probably he has a record.
The NSA agent?
Uh-huh.
Wow, watching you through your iPhone. Guy who,
it was just a
who is taping you.
It was just a portable mac and cheese.
What do you fucking mean a portable mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Like an easy mac.
There you go. I wouldn't call it portable.
It's portable. It comes in a little container. You just heat it up and you're ready to
roll.
Dude,
every food in this world is
anything's
portable.
See? Ganesh knows. Anything's portable if you're just on the move.
Yeah.
Gotta stick and move, baby. Yeah. Stick and move. Move and
try
stick
milk in a glass. Yeah. So my question was, right, like, what do you think that people or other people, you know, away from US mm-hmm. or the States.
There we go.
You know.
Now I'm getting you. Now you speak my language.
So what do you think they get wrong about US and American culture?
I would say a lot of it is geography based of like your culture in that aspect. Cause like a lot of America does get lumped into one big kind of thing culture wise, which some of it is, but like, so like me and Damien are both from Nebraska, which is the Midwest. It's called the Midwest. It's like, you know, geographically the very middle.
Christian, I'm an educated person. I know Midwest.
For the listeners who aren't aware.
Yes, for the listeners.
Just do that. That's what I do. I just pretend everybody's as stupid as me.
Yes.
For the listeners who don't know, explain that.
But we
kind
of have like our own accent a little bit and then own words.
Southern accent, yeah.
Even food versus like Damien being out in California, different.
And eating portable mac and cheese.
Yeah, portable. That must be an LA thing that I'm not ready for. Or you have like the South, which is very different, very distinct as well, especially like with an accent and food wise and so I think that is a lot of people don't realize, I think, about the States.
Well, I think the other thing too is because the United States gets lumped into one group by most other countries, you don't realize that there are biases that Americans have towards other Americans, which is like, you know, when you zoom out, a lot of people view America as California and New York, like that's
Disney World.
Oh yeah, and Disneyland and Disney World.
Yeah,
that's America to a lot of people. That and like the fucking shit show that is the government. But people don't understand that, you know, people from the Midwest dislike certain other people from different states within the Midwest. Or people from, you know, Northern California can't stand people from Southern California. Like, there's a lot of different, like, biases. Or everybody from the United States talking shit about people who live in the South. Like, that's a common thing where if you talk... Yeah. If you say anything about, oh, you know, the South, people, you want to talk like this and you want to talk like that, you know, like.
But do you think history also plays a part in that kind of perception?
Yeah, I don't see how it wouldn't play a part, but I also think that we're far enough away from that history to where we could probably move on from that.
You think?
But I think also the amount of like.
Bias, dude, it was yesterday. You
know, well, I do it right now.
I mean, if you look at the world's history, it was like literally yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, put anything under a microscope, it looks big. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is, you know, from an outsider's perspective, you know, who looks into US for the first time, right? They, of course, go through the A to Z's of history, right? And the latest wound is the Civil War. Like, there has not been much after that.
9/11. Never forget.
Dude, you people fucked your own people. Well, like, come on.
You know. George Bush.
And also, they fucked over another country for that.
Well, they had it coming.
They had weapons of mass destruction.
Give
not
me that
because
oil.
They had giant oil reserves.
You shouldn't have oil if you don't want me to start a war.
Have you seen that Key and Peele skit of oil? Where he says, my sir, we, you know, our women are getting tortured and raped every day. And he says, you know, the full support of American government is with you in principle. And finally, when he says, we also have oil.
Yeah.
And he says, Operation Particle, go, go, go. You know?
And make sure while we're bombing them that you protect the poppy fields, because poppies are very important to the world.
They're sacred. Yeah.
Has nothing to do with heroin. Yeah. Stop thinking about heroin. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole different conversation, right?
I feel like we've had 18 different conversations at this point. I don't know what we're I don't know where we're going next, to be honest with you. We're all over the place.
Yeah. I'm trying to put a lens, right? To a blind person who wants to learn about
you. Well, why would you put a lens to a blind person? It doesn't matter. They're not going to be able to see it.
Yes.
Probably should be some braille.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should say.
Give them a little cane or something. I don't know, but a lens ain't going to help.
Yeah, definitely. Probably an eyeball.
Maybe, maybe a new pair of eyes or like a frontal cortex or something like that.
Why pair of eyes? Why you can't just give one?
Yeah. A new pair of brains? I don't know. You know, I'm not a scientist.
Yeah.
Clearly.
That's very apparent. So what I was saying is, you know, if you look at US as one, right? Because that's what people see as. It's also like, you know, you guys don't have any threats. External threats.
I was like, I love how you had to put it as external. I was internal.
Like, I was like, tell that to my bowels when I'm eating spicy foods, bro.
You see, that's your concern.
That's my threat.
I would say our actual biggest probably external threat is Russian misinformation.
It's probably aliens at this point of time.
Hey, are we talking about
the border?
Oh my God. The ones whom you built the wall for.
The ones who built the wall or the ones who built the pyramid? That's the thing I'm interested in. What are we talking about here?
No, the ones you created the Space Force for.
Space food?
Space Force.
Space Force. Yeah, I don't know anything about
that. Did you already forget it? Trump, you know, established Space Force.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He did. That's his legacy. Yeah.
It reminds me reminds me of a movie I made back in the day called Space Force 9. I wrote a movie back in the day.
Do you know that series from Netflix, The Space Force?
Yeah, they stole it from me, actually. I moved to L.A., and then they took my screenplay and made it into that. So I'm pretty bitter. I'm still pursuing litigation against them for that.
Will you ever win?
Well, if Christian would just buck up and admit that he's an actual lawyer, I think we'd have a chance.
I'm not a lawyer. I have a law degree, but I'm not a lawyer.
Well,
which is
this, and this is our problem here. This is why we can't.
Yeah. So I graduated from law school, so I do have my law degree, but to be a practicing lawyer, attorney, I would have to take. I never took the bar.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So
you would say that the bar is set really low.
Because at the time I would have been taking it, I already had. A job that didn't require me to take the bar, and so
got it. So so what type of a lawyer you are? Like, what law did you study?
Just general law, but mostly I got a concentration in intellectual property, so trademarks, copyrights, a little bit of patent, but not too much.
You should have concentrated on divorce more. It's a repeating business.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, here is a interesting thing about Indian law, right? If a man assaults woman, what would you call it as? Domestic violence, right?
Well, how many times have you told her not to do it?
Yes, it would be domestic violence.
How many times have you told her not to do it, you know? If I have to repeat myself, I don't know if that's an offense.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But in India, if a woman let's say beat up a man, like the husband, it's not domestic violence. There is no stipulation for that in law.
Well, that's because if you get beat up by a girl, that's your fault.
Dude, by your own wife.
Yeah.
It's not even a random girl.
Should have picked an easier target, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you know, in India, you know, Indian law, women get a lot of freeway. Yeah, that's just a law. Like, you know, women don't have to pay alimony ever. Like, even if they earn substantially more.
Don't say it too loud. My wife's going to want us to move to India.
That's true.
Yeah. It's not needed. Even if she's Indian, you know, she could screw you over. You don't need to be Indian.
Do you think it's based off of, like, because historically women in just general history haven't had that many rights, so they wrote the laws not with women in mind, but only with men in mind?
Well, Indian law sees women as superior, so.
Okay.
That's kind of fuck you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of outdated law that we are dealing with in India. It's not been updated since women started being an assholes. Right? Yeah, but you know, divorce rate is also going up in India too now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Unlike US, it's not 50% yet. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who do you like for comedians?
Nice loop back to topic, right? Yeah. So talking about comedy, I like a lot of edgy comedians, like who are almost on the brink of getting fucked, right?
Okay. Canceled.
So, yeah. You know, like Chappelle, Bill Burr, Gabriel Iglesias.
You just went from two of the most controversial to one of the most beloved in the same sentence.
Beloved, clean.
Yeah,
comic.
But he also takes a lot of leaps, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of when he talks about other countries and stuff. Yeah. But he has an advantage because he's not
white.
An American.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, all three of them are fantastic comedians, by the way. I just thought that was that juxtaposition between Chappelle and Burr, who are probably the most aggressive. Besides, like, Anthony Jeselnik, those are probably the top three most aggressive. Or I guess Tony Hinchcliffe, rest in peace at this point.
Yeah.
But his career's over for the time being. But yeah, but besides those guys, Gabriel Iglesias is like, him and Brian Regan are probably in the same field. As far as clean comics go.
Yeah.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel Seinfeld is like a bit boring for me. I don't know why. But
yeah. Well, I mean, he started.
He's a bit dry.
He kind of started the whole modern, you know, American comedy thing. So I think he gets a pass.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, he's not exactly my tempo, but Seinfeld is one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. But his stand-up itself isn't necessarily my favorite, but he's kind of like it's the same with like Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce is really the creator of modern stand-up.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that funny, but we wouldn't have the comedy that we have now without Lenny Bruce. So he gets one ear wiggle and Seinfeld gets the other ear wiggle.
But do you think it's because we are in a period where comedy has evolved and we are looking at the pre-evolved content?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like, look at basketball.
Yeah.
When it first got created. Yeah. I mean, it was people who nowadays wouldn't even step on the court with the current athletes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about worse than people playing pickup ball in the park. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with comedy. You're talking about people who got up on stage and were just telling a story or telling little street jokes, you know. Now we're talking about people who have set up punchline tag. You know what I mean? Like, it has evolved into a completely different thing.
I feel like what you're saying is it went from a creative field to a science.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to understand what it means to write comedy in order to be a comedian now. You couldn't, like, it doesn't just... It's not enough to just get up on stage and be wacky.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have it figured out.
And I would say another huge thing of it, social media really changed comedy. Even when I...
So you could say it fucked it up.
It did and it didn't. Like...
Because what I feel is, right, without the shorter span of attention, right, if you set up a punchline for like 2 minutes, people would take it.
Yeah.
But now it's like it needs to be within like 60 seconds.
Well, I think the caveat to that statement is, are you watching it live in person in a theater or in a comedy club, or are you watching it on YouTube, or are you watching it sitting on your couch on Netflix? Because
right now I can tell you, right, Indian comics especially, it feels like their content is for social media only. Nah. Even if you go to their lives, their setup and punchline is, it's completing within, I would say, 90 seconds.
Yeah. That's strictly for the algorithm. That is not not going to a live stand-up show in America. Going to a live stand-up show in America is, it's going to be, you know, four or five comedians doing 15 to 20 minute sets of anything and everything to get a laugh. And they're going to have a laugh every 30 to 40 to 60 seconds. But it's not this like algorithmic, like setup punchline tag. It is like, you know, it's a lot different live than it is on social media. It's like a podcast, right? You can't put the whole podcast up as a clip. You have to clip 60 seconds or 30 seconds of an episode, of an hour episode, to get people in. And I think that's it didn't ruin comedy. I think it's got more eyes on it now.
Because I would say, as like someone who was doing comedy bit for a bit there, it used to be like, okay, like, I'm from, you know, not a very populated area. So it was like, oh, if you want to be big in comedy, you have to move to LA or New York. And then you got to hope you somehow get on like a late night show. You got to get on like, you know, Leno. You got to get on, well, Fallon.
Well, and you need to do three or four sets a night.
Yeah.
Every night, seven days a week.
And so that's what you had to do. But now with social media, if you have like one clip that goes viral, you can you can become a star overnight from that.
Look at Hawktua.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, she's doing...
That's the most soulless stuff, man.
I think Matt Rife, I think, is a good example of like who became... I think of him as being one of the first big, like, I'll say TikTok comics, where got very big that way. And even going back to fucking Tony
Hinchcliffe.
Yeah. Of like, even he got big because of social media as well, because, and he kind of made Austin more of a place. But like, yeah, I first heard about him because I saw a clip of Kill Tony on social media. And it's like, oh, and he opened the door for a lot of comics because of social media.
Well, and that's, and I think that's the thing, is that I don't know that social media ruined comedy. I think it opened the door to a lot of people who wouldn't have thought of it as something they could do. Because, like, for instance, growing up, I was never really aware of stand-up comedy. You know, like, I didn't really become aware of comedy until fucking, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's because of social media, and it's because comedy became such a... it became such a thing, whereas like I would have loved to have been introduced to stand-up comedy back in the day, because maybe that could have been something that I would have pursued had I known about it sooner. Now I'm in my mid-30s, like it's too late.
Okay, let me ask you this, right? If social media did not ruin the comedic scene, do you think it set a different rules of engagement kind of thing? Right? Because in today's world, if you're just an offline comedian, like you are like, you know, you're shit, especially, you know.
Well, I think like Christian answered first, but
yeah, it made, I would say one downside, it made every comic have to become almost like a businessman or like a social media expert.
Yeah, exactly. So they'd have to be an influencer come comedian, not comedian come influencer.
Yes.
Because they are, you know, gaming the system.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, I, some of the people I know, even based out of where, like the area I was doing comedy of, was like, yeah, people got bigger because they were better. They were good comics, which did help. Were they the funniest in the room? Not necessarily, but they were so good at social media and were willing to put it in the work that way. And so, yeah, I would say that's the biggest thing, is comedy became half of it, and then being very good at being able to like just crank out social media stuff.
And I would even I would even actually maybe disagree with that, because I think that, you know, being a social media warrior and being super, super great at social media is great at getting eyeballs on you initially. But if you don't have the talent, it does not fucking matter. You have to be good at your craft in order. Like, for instance, Christian and I have been running a podcast. We have like 30 something episodes. I think we have 127, 150 videos or shorts up on YouTube and our Instagram and stuff like that. We have 67 followers. Like, just because you post a lot doesn't inherently make you popular. What gets people in is, yeah, sure, posting constantly, but are people tempted to come back? Are people going to tune in to the real deal? Like, when we post an actual episode online, are they going to tune in for the entire hour? Or are they just interested in my 20-second clip where I have curated it to a 20-second piece of media? And so it's like, I think it's a little short-sighted to say that in order to, all you have to do in order to be a successful influencer or a successful comedian is to post a lot. It's like, yeah, sure. But what is the meat on the bone here? Like, what are you actually providing to people? Because if it's 20-second clips, you're only getting 20 seconds of notoriety. But people, like the best comedians in the world, go on tour and do an hour of stand-up per night. And people are vying to get those tickets. You know what I mean? So it's like there's a lot more than just being good at social media.
Yeah,
so I do think it's a short-sighted opinion to be like, well, anybody can be an influencer. Well, anybody can be a comedian. If you
just upload things. I think, Damien, the conversation is right. You know, if let's say it was like a, you know, a scale, right? On one side it was an influencer, and the other side it was comedian. You know, and we're increasingly tipping the scale towards being an influencer rather than a good comedian, because if you can pull people in, and even if you have average, you know, content or stuff that you can put it in a live, right? It would still work. But if you're very good at comedy and very, so if you tip the scale towards being a very good comedian and not at all an influencer, it would probably not work.
It just, I think it makes it harder. I think it's social media is a tool to at least people get your foot in the door kind of thing of being like, because going back to like this, having to be on Leno and stuff, like it used to be super, or like another, what I think made social media so much bigger, at least for the American comedy scene, was, so there used to be this cable network. Well, it's still a thing. It's called Comedy Central. And it used to be purely comedy. And I think for a lot of people, I think Damien can attest, just listening to different comedians on podcast of like that are a little bit older than us, that's how they got their start, was because they saw comedy. It was just always different comedians, and a lot of big comedians we now know it.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
You know, I you know, when I was a kid, I got my most of comedy from Comedy Central.
Yeah. And so a lot of big comedians that we know today who are big movie stars got their start because of that. But then going back to
Kevin Hart, right?
Yeah.
You know, famously.
And then going back to American Greed, of Comedy Central realized they weren't making enough money just having comedians on. So now it's just reruns of The Office 24/7.
Or what's that one with Rob Dyrdek?
I think they got bought out, right? I think Comedy Central got bought off.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it's not on cable anymore.
Yeah, no, it's still, it's not. Well, it's on YouTube TV at least.
Yeah,
it got bought by Viacom, which is Paramount, which is.
Yeah.
So I think that was another big thing where we kind of saw a lull there of comedy.
I also just don't think that comedians and influencers are in the same category overall. Like, I wouldn't put. Like one of the best, some of the best comedians of all time are like Dave Attell or Colin Quinn, and they are some of the best of all time, and they don't post social media at all.
Do you think they went through the route of as Christian rightly said, through the night show kind of hustle.
Well, they were road comics. They did a lot of like road work. They were operating in what they would call obscurity for many years. And then David Tell got a couple of shows. Colin Quinn got a couple of shows. But you talk to people even nowadays, and they don't look at Dave Attell as the, you know, prolific stand up that he is. And it's because he's not on social media, but that doesn't mean he's not a great comic. So it's like, it's one of those things where I don't know that they're mutually exclusive. I think one helps the other, but I wouldn't consider somebody like, you know, Mark Normand or Sam Morril as an influencer. I would consider them as a straight up great comedian who just happens to be on social media a lot. You know?
Got it.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
I think we lost the
video feed for camera Christian, messed up.
No problem.
It quit working. I'm still here, I swear.
Yeah. I mean,
again, me and Damien can't get through a fucking episode of podcasting without one of us just having something go wrong.
I don't know what it is.
That's okay. That's not a problem. What is your kind of take on crowd work, especially when it's not mentioned when you're buying
all that Christian?
Yeah. So I think it's definitely a skill you have to be very good at for it to work well. Because I've seen some real bad crowd work happen where it's just like, don't even try this. But then I don't think it should be going back to Matt Rife, fucking just talking about Matt Rife the entire time, I guess. He's actually not a good comedian, but he's good at crowd work. And so you got to be able to actually like be good at it. Cause like Damien can probably contest, you've probably been at a show where you're like, where someone's trying to do crowd work and you're like, this is fucking painful. But when it hits so well.
Yeah. And I guess my answer would be, the things that you're seeing on social media from the good comics are crowd work because they don't want to give up their bits online.
Yeah.
Because their bits is what they work on. Their bits is the comedy show itself. So when you see crowd work online and they're really good at it, it's because they're fantastic comedians. And so I'll actually disagree with Christian here. Matt Rife is a good comedian. It's just that he's very, very good at crowd work.
I would say it's like, almost better improv than pure comedy.
But Damon, would you say crowd work is an easy way out?
No, it's because hard. Because crowd work is very, very complicated. Unless you have it there's crowd work, which is improv, and then there's crowd work, which is leading into a bit that you already have pre-prepared. So there's crowd work, which is like, I'm asking you a question to lead into a joke that I already have prepared. But then there's crowd work where I'm just going to riff with you for 3 minutes. That crowd work is nearly impossible unless you've been doing it for years and years and years and years. So there's a difference here. Are you doing crowd
work? Also, you'd have to pick a very warm person.
Yeah, right? And you gotta choose the right person, and that's the thing. Is like, am I doing crowd work to segue into my next bit, or am I doing crowd work to interact with the crowd and actually have an impact on each individual person that's here? If it's the latter, you're an incredible comedian.
Yeah.
If it's the former, you're an established comedian, and if it's you're doing crowd work and bombing, it's because you have no idea what you're doing and you've seen crowd work online and you're trying to be an influencer.
So don't toot my own horn. I'm okay. I'm not like great at crowd work, but I was getting better at it. And the reason you need to practice it, but like also as a comedian, you have to be smart enough to be like, while you're doing your jokes, you have to be paying attention to everyone you can see and being like, essentially like picking your victim of like, oh, this person I can tell is having already a good time. They're going to be great to pick on.
Yeah. At least have a good sense of humor because they're laughing.
I just remembered that scene from the Ted movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where they both go on to an improv.
9/11.
They just feel bad suggestions, right? Yeah, exactly. 9/11, you know?
But and also a like amazing skill to have as a comedian is being able to deal with hecklers, which I guess is a type of crowd work. because you're now dealing with a hostile person or a person who's just not making it. They're trying not to laugh at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to handle a heckler, I think, is one of the best skills a comedian can have.
Well, the reason I asked you about, crowd work is, if I'm a viewer, right, I would fucking hate to pay to see crowd work.
Like, yeah,
I'm here to, you know, listen to you, landing jokes and making fun of something else rather than, you know, working with the crowd.
Well, and I think that's why comedy is so difficult, is because there's 50% of people who have that mindset. And then there's 50% of people who are like, oh, I've heard this fucking joke before. I saw him 3 months ago and he did this exact same fucking set list. You know, like they have a much harder job than, like, you know, a band or something like that, where people go to a band and they know, I'm going to hear this song in this order, this song, and I'm going to sing my lungs out and I'm going to have a great time and I can't wait to hear what they have to sing for me. You go to a comedy show and there's people who are so unfamiliar with comedy that they do think that seeing a comedian is going to be a new set every single night. And so if you don't involve crowd work, you're going to get people who show up to see you that maybe saw one or two clips online, but aren't familiar with comedy. And they're going to go and see the exact same set list again. And they're going to fucking heckle you. And they're going to talk shit about, oh, this guy isn't that funny. Anybody can write a joke. And so that 50% of the crowd is what crowd work is for.
Yeah.
But do you think it's really 50% though?
I would say so.
I would say it's pretty close.
I think a lot of people are looking for a very unique experience. Mm-hmm. That is only happening then,
kind
of thing.
Like, a lot of people,
because
a lot of people go to comedy shows here in America and have never been to a comedy show before in their life.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same in India also, but the trend seems to be people kind of hate crowd work.
Yeah. I think it's because a lot of people do it so badly.
Yeah, yeah, bad crowd work. Yeah,
are a couple of very good, you know, Indian comedians who do crowd work, like Kenny Sebastian and etc. But it's like the opinion over here for comedians is, I paid for you to tell jokes, not to, you know, fucking pass your time.
Sure.
Because
a
common audience, right, a person who has no interest or knowledge or anything about stand-up, they probably see crowd work as the easiest way out. Because they're like, yeah, I know, it's like borderline bullying. You know, you pick up a person and you make fun of them, right? Like, I'm talking about a typical mindset that they go into a show expecting a spectacular, you know, joke or, you know, time, and now they're like, why the fuck are you giving one person so much attention?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they are like 2,000 people, and then there is this accusations of, you know, implanting people,
sure,
right?
That does happen.
For crowd work. So, you know, it's like, it's a very hot topic.
Welcome back to Sapien Podcast. If you love books that keep you guessing and hosts who keep you laughing, let me introduce you to our sponsor, Read It and Screech It. Imagine plot twists that leave you gasping, recaps that have you roaring with laughter, and drama served with just the right amount of sass. Hosted by the legendary book reviewing Banshees, this isn't your typical book club. From dark romances that toe the line to thrillers that make you question everything, these Banshees are here to spill the tea, unfiltered and, well, with few screeches. So, if you are craving a fast-paced and hilarious take on today's must-reads, tune into Read It and Screech. Get ready for a wild ride.
What I see, that's why I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, and I think at that point it is up to the viewership to, like, you have to be smart in what you're purchasing too. Like, you have to know if you're going to be that specific about things, because, like, I don't know, for me personally, it's like, I would compare it to this. If I'm going to go see a new blockbuster movie that's just now dropping, right? For me personally, I'm not going to do a shitload of research and find out what is the plot, who are, like, what's the name of the characters, what's the backstories, where is this plot? I'm going to go and I'm just going to go, here's my $15. Show me what this is going to be about. And I'm here. And I think if you're not like that, I think if you're somebody who's like, I have definite expectations for this. I do not want it to be this. I do not want it to be that. I want it to be this and only this. Then it's your fault if you go and see a crowd work comedian because you didn't do your research. Yeah. So it's like, I think it's just like everything. If you set an expectation for something that you're going to go see for entertainment purposes, you're the fool for being disappointed.
Yeah. Because there was recently an incident, you know, where an Indian comedian, right? He started doing crowd work and it kind of lasted for 10 to 12 minutes.
That's a long time to do crowd work.
That is, yes.
That's egregious.
Yeah. And unsurprisingly, right? More than half the crowd just walked.
Sure.
Because it was like one building with like four auditoriums with like four different comedians.
Okay.
And they're like, yeah, fuck you. I'm going to go to the other person.
Sure. I think crowd work also really depends on the size of the venue.
Yes.
I don't like if you're at a big arena and you do crowd work.
Yeah. That's
terrible. But if it's like, I'm not sure how Indian comedy clubs are versus like American. So like one of the biggest ones me and Damien went to, not big, famous, I guess I should say, is the Belly Room in LA. And that holds, what, 30
maybe
people
30
at most?
People, yeah.
So I'm expecting more crowd work there because it's more intimate. Mm-hmm. It's more like versus, if it gets too big of a size, like, crowd work is like if there's like 2,000 people
anything from theater up you should really keep the crowd work to a minimum because there's so many people there that it's like how could you even possibly really do crowd work that easily but the people who can pull it off in a theater are very impressive but then you're also getting into weird territory right where it's like I'm in an arena and I'm making fun of this guy in the front row. Well, you have 15,000 people who cannot see that person who you're talking about. So any of the jokes that you're talking about, nobody's going to get. Right. So I think it is a matter of reading the room, which is why I say it's like crowd work takes a lot of skill and being great at crowd work means you're a fantastic comedian because you can read the room well enough to know when it is and isn't time to do that. Bad comedians do bad crowd work.
Yeah.
Got it. So because you both are into comedy and you understand the whole shebang, right?
Probably not.
Would you be into
We are at experts least parts of at it. Nothing.
Yeah.
So would you enjoy like an arena show or would you enjoy an open mic?
If I'm in LA, me and Damien did this when I came out and visited him. They're like open mics, but not open mics, but you pay like $10. And it might just be full of like, I don't want to say nobodies, but like people you have no idea. They're just kind of, then it can just be a random huge time celebrity will drop in.
Yeah.
And I think I prefer that because you're going to maybe hear because at that point they're doing jokes that aren't fully polished. Like they're practicing, they're testing them out.
Exactly.
And so you might hear a joke no one else has ever heard from one of your favorite comedians and you get to listen to them. What I also really enjoy is sometimes like I'll see a comedian come through while they're still like workshopping and like getting it ready for that big arena or that Netflix special. And I can see where like, remember the joke from when I saw them like 2 months and then see it on the Netflix special and be like, oh, I got to see how that joke, cause that's like a huge thing is like polishing your joke. So I get to see how like, oh, I remember when this was super unpolished and now I got to see the finished product. It's like, you know,
but also the storytelling also evolved during that period. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the story might be completely different by now.
Yeah, which is really cool to see. So I enjoy that. I like, you know, seeing how the sausage is made kind of thing.
Got it.
Yeah, I guess when I think open mics, I think like people who have been doing stand-up for less than 3 years, right? And I'm like, okay, I really, really enjoy going to open mics. But once again, I don't know that I'd put an open mic night in the same category as an arena act because when I'm going to an arena act, I'm willingly shelling out $100+ to go and see that person who I'm very familiar with, who I have certain expectations that they're going to meet. Whereas when I go to an open mic night, I'm like, I'm shelling out $5 to $10 to go see somebody who is like, you know, failing at crowd work, who has, you know, two or three solid bits, but is still working on stuff. So I like it from that level all the way to arenas, but I wouldn't say that I would prefer one to the other, because you're talking about the difference between $10 and $200. And it's like, if I'm, what do I want? Do I want something that's really short term and is like kind of fun in the meantime? Or do I want to build memories? Right. If I want to build memories, I'll go to an arena act, be like, I saw this dude at this arena put on this show. It's on Netflix. I was fucking there. Like, I was there in person, blah, blah, blah. But I'm also not going to discount the fact that I went to a $10 show and saw an up and coming comedian who might be big in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tough to choose between the two. If I had to choose, though, I would actually meet right in the middle. I want to go to a theater act. Somebody who sells out like 1,500, 2,000 people theaters, that's the shit I really, really like.
Got it. So a lot of comedians, right, when they talk about drawing inspirations, I don't know why I'm smiling. So when they talk about drawing inspirations, they say that they did go to a lot of open mics and drew inspiration from there. What's your take on it? Because there is this whole argument of, you know, they literally stole the joke, or there is this whole other argument that says they stole the joke, however, they worked on the landing and, you know, evolution of the joke. So which side are you on?
I think I'm very much not for stealing jokes in that aspect. I get the level inspiration kind of thing, because there have been times where, like, I've heard a joke and it sparked a, not like the same, I want to say, I guess, theme area, not like stealing or not even the same joke, but like inspired me to think of something else.
Got it.
Kind of inspiration. And for me, I've always preferred comedy that's more authentic to the person and not super generic-y. Cause I, as a comic, I always try to stay away from that of, like, you know, the fucking 90s jokes of, like, my wife's like cooking's terrible kind of thing, and more of like actual stories about someone's experience that they actually lived. And like, another part of comedy is every joke has a core of truth to it, but you exaggerate. And so I always say, like, a lot of my jokes are just me turned up to 11 sometimes. Like,
yeah,
because it makes it funnier, right? Like,
yeah, I would echo what Christian just said and just kind of extrapolate on it, which is like, there's
find
a
inspiration from it.
Yeah, I will find inspiration from Christian's monologue, and I'll tweak it a little bit. I didn't steal it; I tweaked it. I will say there's a difference between finding inspiration from a premise and just straight up jacking someone's shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like, if you have the exact same premise, the exact same setup, but just like a different punchline, but it's like the same feel, well, then that's not your joke. That's somebody else's thing. But I mean, how realistically, when you think of like the grand scheme of the human existence, right? How many premises exist? Eventually, it's like, it's a joke about yourself. It's a joke about somebody else, or it's a joke about like nonsense that you're creating, or it's just a story about your life. Like, that's, I mean, there's four jokes in the world. You know what I mean? And so, and it's like, at some point you're going to overlap a little bit, but it's in your delivery and it's making that premise and that topic into your own like voice, right? I think that's something that Christian can attest to as well, which is like the biggest part of stand-up and being a comedian in general is finding your voice, not going up there and being like, you know, the problem with blah, 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 and then like just being Chris Rock, right? It's going up there and being authentic to yourself while also telling jokes that may have a similar premise to Chris Rock. But how do you make it your own? So I don't have any problem with inspiration. I do have a problem with just straight stealing people's material.
But there are comedians who made their careers while stealing.
Okay, Carlos.
Yeah. Lifting it.
Yeah, there have been. And I think it's harder now, going back to social media, to be honest. I think you could, back in the day, do it more under the table because you could, like, no one's going to call you out. But now with social media everywhere, you can't, like, you're going to hear about it. Like,
well, then think about,
like, oh yeah, that guy steals jokes.
Yeah. Well, and think about, I mean, comedy back in the day was just street jokes. Mm-hmm. And all street jokes are is the same story or the same joke told over and over again. And it was just having the balls to get up on stage and telling it. But you're saying the exact same thing that somebody else already said. That was like how comedy started. I mean, that was like prior to Lenny Bruce. That was what stand-up comedy was. You know, I told my wife her cooking was so bad that if she, you know, it's like it's that kind of shit. And people just go and regurgitate the same fucking thing. And that's why we were talking about earlier, you know, a few minutes ago, where it's like, now it is a science. You need to understand the writing process to be a comedian, because it's not enough to just be a funny guy or a funny girl. Yeah. Like, you have to straight, you have to just straight up be like, you have to be an assassin with your writing to make it through, which is why I said, just being funny isn't going to get you to sell out theaters.
No.
Viewers. Yeah. Podcast downloads.
Yes, which is why Christian and I are officially retiring from podcasting, because we realize we're never going to get viewership.
No, one day.
I would not say so.
I'm just kidding. We're too full of
After this podcast, we might be canceled. So
Hopefully that acts as an excuse.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Anyways. I mean, comics or, you know, comedians, right? They are creative people, but they're also a bunch of outcasts.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you cannot stand in the middle of the society and make jokes.
Yeah.
Because most of jokes, right, challenge the basic fabric of society.
A good joke. Yeah, a good joke does. Yeah.
Right? Because it's on the frenzy, right? So, you know, and the whole societal structure likes predictability. Mm-hmm.
Well, then think about, too, I mean, it's just like anything else in the world. There's a time and place for everything, right? Yeah. Like, there's a difference between if I'm walking into a church and they're giving a sermon and they're preaching, you know, the good word or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know what the fuck they do there. But, you know, if I walk in and they're doing that, I'm not going to be like shocked or taken aback or offended by the fact that they're like preaching the Bible inside the confines of the church. Right. But if they're standing out on the street corner being like, you need Jesus, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. Yeah. I'm just inherently going to be like, I'm just trying to walk to Subway. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Trying to get my $5 footlong.
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's not 2006 anymore.
$5 footlong. It's not one of our.
Thankfully,
episodes.
I'm not American, so I'm not aware of this.
Yeah, but anyways, I think it is. I think it's a matter of time and place.
No, but
you know,
what I wanted to ask is right. Like, since comedians are a bunch of outcasts, right? Is it fair that comedy is going mainstream?
I think it's always been mainstream a little bit.
I don't think so.
I think it was, and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like in the 90s, like in late 80s through the 90s into the very early 2000s, it was not mainstream at all.
Yeah.
But exactly. It was in the 70s, in the early 80s. That was when comedy was like booming. And I think it's just like everything else. It's cyclical. It's just going to, it's huge right now. It's getting famous and it's going to die again.
Yeah, but when it starts to die again, that's when the best stuff comes out.
It depends on what you're looking for.
Damon, do you remember COVID?
I try to forget.
People did stand up on fucking Instagram lives. Yeah. And I don't even remember the app's name. Like, and I feel like that's when the best out of artists came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because they were like, yeah, if I don't do this, I'm fucked. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think we're also getting back into the topic that Christian brought up earlier, which is money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially during COVID, you had a lot of people who were out of work and who had to find alternative means to making money. And things like podcasting and things like stand-up comedy and things like, you know, being an entrepreneur for yourself and for nobody else became the only way that you're really going to make money if you don't want to work for a boss. And I think that's just kind of we're in the throes of that right now, where it's like, oh, not only did people do that during COVID, but they capitalized on it. And now there's an actual trend of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like everything. I mean, you could say that same thing about like data entry. Data entry wasn't as big as it was in COVID. It's not a skill, right? Yeah. Having children.
It's not a...
I still also think there is a bit of almost classism within comedy. Mm-hmm. If you come... It's easier to go try and be a comedian if you come for money, essentially, if you have that safety net, because there's a lot of people that I do this too often now. For a lot of comedians, I go to their Wikipedia pages and see what their parents did. My favorite example is John Mulaney, huge comedian, right? Very comes from so much wealth. Yeah. Like, he was going to be successful no matter what he did in life. And so I think for a lot of comedians, sometimes it's hard to try to make that full leap of faith because you don't have that safety net. Like, you're like, well, I got to keep, I would love to do comedy full time, but also I would like to eat.
But I also don't think that's the majority of comics either.
Yeah, that's a minority, right? People who come
I think some of the best comedians come from the hard knocks. But also it's like, I think that's also just the exception to everything. I think there's always going to be people who are the most successful who always had the ability to do that thing because they come from a wealthier background. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also going to be people who transcend even despite where they came from. But then I also think that the middle ground is the great equalizer. I think the middle ground of anything is where everybody meets and everybody is just battling for the next rung up. And I think that's the beauty in comedy. I think that's the beauty in life, is like, you can have a leg up, you can have all the money in the world, but if you're not talented, you're only as good as the 20-second views.
Or OnlyFans. God, I can't remember which. So I saw an article. It was a musician, a female musician, who, like, I can't for life and remember her name, but like a name where like I recognize. And she said she makes more money selling feet pics than her Spotify account.
There's comedians because who do that.
Spotify is a corporation.
Karen Feehan.
Are we just going to have to start selling Tootsie pics?
I'll sell my... Dude, I have beautiful feet. I'll sell my feet pics. Oh, Christian, I know. There is plenty of podcast episodes where we talk about your feet. I never want to... The fact that they're still burned in my memory should tell you something.
One of my big toenails is almost finally back. So we're looking...
War Demon finally... back. Was it on a holiday or something?
It decided to go fuck off at one point, and so
it was bad.
And it took the furniture.
Yeah, check the YouTube. There's a video called "What Are Those?" You'll see it.
I don't want to
do it. It's hold on. Bad. Do it.
Just do it.
Do it now. Hey, do it.
Do it now. Yeah. Damon, are you interested in starting a cult?
You know, here's the fucking craziest part about that question that you just said is that I have had that question several times. I don't know what it is about me or my face, but people often tell me that I remind them of a cult leader, and I'm not sure if that's an insult or a compliment.
Yes. It's a compliment, though.
Well, then tomorrow is when I'm going to start it.
That means you do have a backup plan if everything in life fails.
Yeah, that's true. I can convince people to join a cult. It's really easy.
Yeah.
My sales pitch is, hey, what else are you doing? Yeah. Sold.
It's not peer pressure. It's just your turn.
Goddamn right. See, I already got my first follower. My first apostle, Christian.
Yeah, like he could be a co-founder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like this, right? Like, only the extreme people like Damon can do comedy.
Which is hilarious because I'm the only one of my friends who's never done comedy.
Comedy.
I'm the only one who's never done it.
Yeah. Why though?
I'm too big of a bitch.
Yeah, those were going to be my exact words.
Oh, I know. I beat you to it, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Bitch.
Bitch. Yeah. No, I'm too big of a bitch.
So it's like, so you're scared of like audience?
Well, no, which is hilarious.
You just hate people.
No, I am a huge fucking, I'm a huge ham. I love, mm-hmm. I love getting up in front of people. I love, like, there's nothing scary about getting up in front of people for me. I did it all throughout high school. I do it all the time. There's no problem for me. There's something about the writing process of comedy that is keeping me from doing it. Mm-hmm. It's the writing process. I have no problem getting up on stage, but coming prepared.
Script jokes from other people.
Yeah, see? He's got it all figured out. Take it back to the 70s. Everything's cyclical.
Yeah.
I'll just steal Christian's jokes.
I don't know if that's worth it, honestly. I don't even want to.
He's not confident on his own material. He's like, yeah.
He's like, don't do that.
Maybe not.
But yeah, I would love to do it. I'm just I'm too afraid to do it. I just, it would take a lot of effort for me to sit down and actually, I have what I call my bit or premise book. And it is just pages on pages of like half written jokes. And it would involve me sitting down and, you know, having the courage to actually finish those jokes.
Got it. Yeah. So hopefully you start a cult or be a comedian.
Yeah. Like, I think
professional podcasts are still holding out, baby.
Yeah, we're doing it right now. I mean, we're not making any money, but you know, I think starting a cult is probably
we're actually
my next
losing
thing.
Money.
Yeah,
every
we're
episode.
It's very expensive to have a podcast. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. Take it from a gold mic'd Ganesh over here. Don't do it.
Just do it. Don't do it. I don't
so
know.
So sign up to the podcast.
Yeah, guys, it's been fun.
Join us on social media. Become part of the cult. Let's do this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we have not decided on the cult name or what it fucking stands for. Nothing. But yeah, just join.
Yeah, just join. You'll figure it
out
later.
We'll figure it out, man.
Yeah. It's not important right now. The point is just being part of it.
Just like the Mormon church.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Guys, thank you so much for being here. It was
Thanks
fun.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can have you back someday when Christian has fixed his
camera.
Yeah, fucking
idiot.
Probably not. No.
And he's not on the watch list. So, to my audience, guys, Damien and Christian's podcast link will be in the description. Go and check them out. And support them. And they talk weird all the time. So, yeah, maybe that's something that, you know, you listen to when you're jogging or, you know, trying to be spiritual or something.
Yeah, or if you're like, if you're angry at your parents,
until the next episode,
you know, if you're angry at your parents, go ahead and give us a listen and join the cult.
Yeah.
Join the cult. That's the CTA call to action today. Mm-hmm. And until next episode, thank you so much for being here and take
care.
See ya. Bye.